Throw that shit my way. Everything's tanking right now. I'm good to lose some more money.
I forgot cryptocurrency guys here. Crypto Kev.
Yeah.
Man, so I'm glad I didn't invest too much because I'm losing my ass right
now.
I'm
fucking upside down so big.
And you guys were sending text messages like, look how much jack I'm making.
Hey, man, I was doing all right for a minute there. And then
I'm not that bad right now. I'm about 20% down, but I've been buying Bitcoin hoping that it's low. It's low.
Yeah, buying all the dips and everything like that. But you know, also rolling with all the dips too, losing, you know, $5,000 to $7,000 every fucking 48 hours. So that's nice.
Can't do it, man. I've never been able to gamble, and I see, like,
aren't you married? Straight up, man. That's the biggest
gamble. Yeah, you know what? Bro. Roll the dice.
Straight up.
No, man, I don't know, man. I just, plus I'm a miser. Kevin calls me a miser, you know.
Yeah, Nico's definitely a miser. And the,
what's up with those designer sunglasses on, man? I know you come out of pocket big.
Just to let you guys know, too, we bring comedians on the show, but I'm going to give props to Joe. He's probably the funniest dude that I know.
Appreciate it.
So he's going to be kicking jokes, too.
Kevin said that to about three people on the show.
You know, you got to go with what you know. You got to go get in there. We don't know Jack, but we know that shit. Let's go.
Man, before you came in, me and Kevin were talking about trying breast milk. I don't even remember how that subject matter came up.
It's because y'all out of creamer in the fucking fridge, man.
It might have been the creamer.
You're talking about some hazelnuts, some titties, whatever.
Yeah.
Get on it.
First of all, hazelnut, I don't get it. You know, what does it taste like? Is it just a nut? I don't know, man.
I mean,
hazelnut seems weird for so many people to be like. It's got to be the number one creamer out there, I think.
It is. But I mean, I'll say like, but the whole coffee game is weird on that shit like that. It's like, you think about it, it's like the dope game. It's like, we can go to Colombia, we can get a couple kilos of these beans, we're going to grind them up, we're going to sprinkle a little water on that shit, we're going to sell it to these white people for like $8-$9. I mean, that shit's crazy, dude. Then y'all throw in some fucking like $8 milk in that shit?
The analogy is so great because my wife is addicted to hazelnut creamer. Like, when we start getting low, she starts making plans 3 or 4 days in advance to get to the HEB, man. And I'm telling her, just buy 2 or 3. And she goes, then they'll expire, you know? But we're going through it.
I'm pretty sure, like, hazelnut creamer doesn't expire for, like, 3 months. No, the one you get in the freaking... Man, I go and I see the creamers, and all of them say, like, March. You know, they like say March 2022 right now.
Okay, so yeah, we're blasting through them quick, you know. So yeah. I guess that's we can handle.
Does it blast through your intestines?
Not mine. I don't drink it. And I drink some other stuff.
But hold up, you gotta be on the powder creamer?
No,
I don't know shit about.
I'm talking
coffee.
About.
No,
just
I'm
the
not
liquid,
on. I'm
liquid
not on powder. Cream. I'm on liquid, but I buy pumpkin spice and I buy like I stock the freezer.
You wear Uggs and a denim shirt.
Yeah, I wear those and I drink my pumpkin spice. I buy a bunch and fill the freezer
with your
up.
Finger
you know?
Like this,
fucking fancy, man. Fancy. I'm from pumpkin spice it up over here.
I've tried breast milk. I told you.
Yes.
But what I was telling Kevin right before is like.
But who's breast milk?
Nicole's breast milk.
All right,
yeah, when she was breastfeeding the babies, you know, like my children when they were younger, five or six.
Mom wants you to put on that red thing. I'm a little hungry today.
I was like, man, I want to try this stuff, you know. And I was thinking, I was like, man, I'd like to try it right off the nipple, you know. And anyways, I tried the milk. I'm not gonna tell you how I did it, but I tried the milk.
You just did
through a big straw. And
man, there's so many jokes case, there. I'll leave that shit alone.
I go to work the next day and I'm telling my boss about how I tried this breast milk. He goes, "You're a rookie, man." He's like, "I'm 3 kids in, man. I'm way ahead of you, 10 years older." He's like, "Everybody does it."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Everybody does that.
That's some funny stuff, man.
It is.
Breast milk makes the best creamer. Tears make the best lubricant. You know, whatever you want.
Wait. So you said you weren't going to tell us how you did it. Did you do it in coffee? Because I know you're kind of a clean.
Oh, no. I just drank it straight, dude.
You just went straight
just
for
straight.
It.
Just straight.
Hot milk makes
me. I'm just going to ask you, off the boob or do you pump? Or what?
Yeah, I did both, man.
Okay.
I did both.
Try it both ways?
I did. I even sucked it out of the nipple that the little babies get, you know?
Jeez, that's a lot. It's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Jack. Well, we don't know Jack, but we bring in other people to talk about it.
So we started off with a hard intro, and yeah, that went pretty hard. So, Nico, what do we have on the show today, man?
Well, real quick, man, we do want to say happy birthday to our friend Jay Clark.
Jake, what's up, man? Happy birthday. See you in Miami in a couple days. And then Lee McLean, happy birthday to you too, bro.
Getting old. Say, is this Lee's birthday?
Yeah, yeah.
He's getting old too.
Happy birthday to both of y'all, man. Happy birthday.
Man, good, good. I didn't know that, man. You know, because usually every morning I wake up, I look at Facebook, I go to birthdays, and I send everybody like a cat, a different year. Like last year, it was a cat that had a birthday cake. It would slap it off the table. This year, it's a pirate. A pirate cat that says happy birthday.
So you told us that weak story before, and we don't agree with it. Or I don't.
What's the weak story, dude?
The weak story is your happy birthday obsession with Facebook. I don't like it.
Dude, Facebook should be to help people have a great day, man.
All right, I'll give you.
You know?
That's just to ruin people's day, bro. Some curated ass bullshit.
Yeah.
Straight up. You got anybody on there like that? I'm seeing you from like, you're still in high school working at nine to three... fast food job? Get the fuck out of here, man. What's wrong with that, dude?
I'm going to jump in real quick because I'm a fat boy gets hot, but I'm gonna go ahead and show my shirt. Karate Kid.
Macho.
It's back. The new season's out. I'm watching it. Oh, yeah. Dude, I'm in it, man. We're binge watching.
The kids watched the first two. I've already seen all three. I'm waiting for them to watch the third one so we could watch the fourth together.
Big Johnny Lawrence fan. What's going on?
Dude, he's awesome. He's the best thing of that show.
I love the show. Yeah, he is the best thing of the show. But 3 and 4 have gotten kind of Power Ranger with the karate. With the kids and stuff. So
bring it back to more of those guys, you know?
I only watched one episode.
Eagle Fang Karate, you know?
I watched one episode. They threw some kid off the stairs and he broke his back. And I was in. I was invested.
That was like the third season.
Yeah, it was something like that. And then the girl I was talking to changed the password because we broke up. And that was that.
Oh, you know? Man. Too bad. But you can have my Netflix password.
Is it?
It's...
We'll be able to put all that information in the description so you guys can see all that. We'll all watch out. Underneco.
Hey, man, I saw a story this morning. Clinton Portis, who played for the U, running back.
You still repping Miami?
Yeah, man, I love Miami. You know why I love Miami?
Leon Lett.
No, back in the late 90s to early 2000s, man, the way that you got on the team was with your 40-yard dash time, but it was while carrying flat screen or a big screen TV.
How about you been trying to work that shit, dude?
No. The boys at the U I always identified with, man, because they were just gangsters, dude.
Snoop Menace.
Yeah, man. So in any case.
So I started watching that show that you recommended about with The Rock.
Yeah, Ballers?
And he went to Miami, too.
Yeah, man.
So I have a question, because I don't know a lot about his history, but I'm going to start helping him campaign, because you said he's going for president. Is the story that he's telling, is that all factual events through his life?
Yes, I believe, you know, like, there's some, there's probably some embellishments.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, he's telling you basically his life story of when he grew up. Yeah, I mean, his dad was a wrestler, his granddad was a wrestler, and all the famous wrestlers that you know, like, you didn't know that he was around all them.
Yeah, that's what I saw, that all the people that they were talking about were real old-school wrestlers.
Yeah, Macho Man, Andre the Giant. Like, he was around all those guys growing up.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Dwayne Johnson for president.
Yeah, just because he was with those guys.
Political shit.
Right? Like, that's his campaign, right? He cocks the eyebrow, right? Yeah. He just goes, because I grew up around Andre Johnson. I mean, Andre Giant.
Fucking mixing them up, man.
I've never voted. Judge me if you want, but I will sign up and vote for The Rock.
All right. Okay, man.
Y'all going to fuck up my taxes and everything, man. Y'all vote for somebody who can make a difference, not some celebrity shit.
In any case, here's what happened, man. This guy, Clinton Portis, and a whole bunch of NFL players are being indicted for what they call...
The healthcare, the COVID ripoff shit?
Yeah, it's 13 counts of healthcare fraud, 11 counts of wire fraud, 3 counts of aggravated ID theft. Here's what happened. The NFL has a fund that when guys who are retired from the NFL, meaning they've played more than 4.5 years, so they've got a pension coming from the NFL, anytime that their insurance doesn't cover something and they have to come out of pocket cash, they have a way to reimburse them with receipts. And so what happened is one of these players who became the ringleader approached Clinton Portis, you know, who I enjoyed watching when he was younger, and said, hey, let us use these receipts. We'll give you kickbacks for whatever you get, you know? And so it was like $4 million in claims. And like some of it was like for for sonogram machines, which, you know, you don't even need that unless you're a pregnant woman. You know? Yeah. And they got paid out $3.4 million. I don't know what the kickbacks were, but the sentence that they're trying to give this ringleader is life. Life in prison, dude.
Life.
Life in prison.
Now, man, see, I heard one of them, like, that one cat he caught, 6 months in jail and 6 months house arrest and had to pay back some money. I didn't think it was, like, you looking at, like, putting it on the shelf.
I can only, you know, like, the only thing that I'm thinking is that it's because it's, you know, because the federal government is involved, you know, and you're tax evading and things like that, they're trying to get you. Right?
So with the federal government involved, a life sentence is a life sentence. I mean, you're not getting paroled like you would if it was a state life sentence. I mean, that's 20 years, you know. Anyways. That's pretty intense.
So when I saw that story, I thought, yeah, I get it. What they did was wrong. But dude, life in prison? And I started thinking, I was like, man, so I just started looking up stories, right? Like the Boston Globe just reported this week that they gave 47 medical paroles, and 21 of those were to convicted murderers. Because people had COVID, they let them out of prison.
Yeah.
Right? The LA Times reported that the state of California has released 6,000 inmates because of COVID-related incidents, and they're going to release another 6,000. And they're all high-risk inmates. But we're trying to sentence this guy to life in prison because he got some payouts of $3.4 million. You know, like, oh, man, I don't know.
I mean,
that's a lot of money for a lot of people. But for what they were going to get into, it's not, is it?
But, I mean, you mentioned those publications and everything. You might want to fact-check that against, like, Instagram or Facebook, like, the real news and shit comes
yeah.
over. Because I don't know if I believe that shit.
Yeah. Forget about Boston Globe and L.A.
Yeah,
Times. No,
yeah, the Boston Globe, L.A. Times, no good. Facebook.
Get that shit where 90% of the population gets their news, man.
I got a guy named Wolf, and he'll give you the real Instagram meme of what exactly is going on.
Hey, man, you can't knock that dude's hustle. He's got something like, what, like 10,000 followers?
He does, man. Like, he has a lot of followers.
Slim Daisies, I got shout out to that shit. Go for it, man.
Yeah. Slanging motorcycles.
I don't get it, man. I told Nicole the other day, I said, it's very easy for you to go Google check if something's real. Like, I'll see people post stuff on Facebook and Instagram, and I'll go, that's probably not right.
Yeah.
And I, sure enough, like, I'll just Google search it real quick. I'm like, very easy Google search to figure out that is not true. But you're throwing it out there like, yeah, let's just put it out there, man. It's absolutely true. And Oregon's going to freaking stoke the fires.
You guys do like, you get those emails like Bill Gates is giving away 90% of his fortune for this to like 27 people.
Man, so I had a guy tell me.
You know, I mean, half the reason I'm not rich is because fucking I didn't forward them chain letters like when we were in high school and shit like that.
I heard Bill Gates one. And this guy told me for real, he sent me this video, and it was Bill Gates in 2005 found a gene that makes you believe in God, and they were going to vaccinate people to make them not believe in God.
That's called being white and middle class.
Well, I sent it to my mom, and she sent me right back this whole, like, every single Google search that it was fake. And the guy that told me believed in this, man, and I haven't decided if I'm going to send him the link to let him know.
Man, don't ruin that dude's day.
I shouldn't ruin it?
No, let it go.
With the truth?
No. The truth just fucks people's mornings up, man.
Hey, you know what we didn't do? We didn't welcome in, and they can only hear us, right? Like, I'm pointing to the screen. Our newly, I don't even know what you call that, license, whatever. We're on Spotify now. We're on Apple Podcast.
Yeah.
This is the first episode on that?
Yeah.
No, so we're, last episode we did a trial run. Mm-hmm. So Spotify's picked us up. It's an application process that we went to, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and there's a lot of little niche ones that we're doing too. Our main platform is always going to be YouTube. We're YouTube fanatics. We want people to watch us and see us because, you know, listening to people, you can't see their facial expressions. So always check us out on the YouTube. You can listen to it on Spotify. It's about an hour long, so a lot of people just don't have the time to sit in front of the TV and just watch the show. But watch it on YouTube with the, you know, with the volume turned up. Either way, we're on both channels. You can go to the WeDon'tKnowJack.com website, and it'll have every single streaming channel that we're on with the episodes listed. So, yeah, that was a big deal for us. Nico, I know you're real proud of that process, too.
I put that out there. I saved that one. I was going to put that one out there, like, a week from now. Because yesterday, I just asked everybody that I know, hey, can you go and follow us on Instagram? Because we wanted to build up our Instagram
page.
What
would you set the bar at? It's all 10,000, 20,000, your closest friends.
I was like, if we get to 10,000, I'll throw a party.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's very possible, man.
Hazelnut coffee and everything.
Breast milk, whatever.
Fuck it, I like and subscribe for that shit.
It's very possible that we could get there, you know, and we appreciate all the followers and subscribers, you know, and as the channel grows, our whole goal in this is to bring on people that we know that are funny, that we can have a good time with, chop it up, but we also want to give a platform for the comedians, local artists, musicians, small business owners. Joe, I know you own a small business, so I don't know if you want to talk about that and your journey.
No, I mean, for mine, it's been good. We're, you know, we're in sports, we're in broadcast and everything like that. So we've been doing this for like 20 years now. You know, I've been running it for like the last like 10. And this feels like shameless, like self-promotion, just like YouTube.
It's not shameless. We want you to self-promote.
No. Yeah. So stuff like that. I mean, you see the work. If you watch like MLB baseball or AT&T, especially for like the Astros and stuff, all the graphics that you see on there, all the analytics and stuff like that, we had a part in that. So. You know, it's been good.
Real quick, because I want to just kind of layman's terms. I know you just said it, but so people out there who are listening or watching understand, how would you explain to somebody that doesn't even, like somebody that doesn't know you, like what does your company do?
I know a little bit of the questions. Yeah. What's a ticker? What's a bug box? What are these things that you provide for the big baseball, MLB? You're in all the sports, really. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that. And I also want to hear the story about the time you made the ticker flash when I was watching a NASCAR race. You were working in the box.
Yeah, no. I mean, shit, I can't remember all that stuff. We've been doing this for a while. But, I mean, you know, it's been good as far as, like, what we're doing. There's been an evolution of it as technology's caught up and everything like that. You know, computers become a big part of everything that we do. You got a bunch of machine learning and things like that are going on. You know, MLB's done a great job with like StatCast, PitchCast, HitCast, where, you know, there's way more sabermetrics and analytics to where you can like kind of tell stories on it. What we do is mainly like kind of take that data, put it in an agnostic form, and then make it like human readable to where like you can disperse it. But I guess the easiest way to say it is like if you watch like the little clock and score at a game or like home runs and all that shit, like we're involved in all that. Yeah. That's our platform. It's our, you know, proprietary engine. We do all that.
So if I'm watching TV, and like I see the score come up on the bottom.
That's
somehow your company's involved in that.
Yeah. So for us, it's you know, we interface to like MLB's ActiveMQ network, which I don't even know if I can say that shit. And then we pull it back and we put it on the bugs and all of that stuff, and we display it. So it's like, you know, one of the new features where you see somebody hit a home run and it shows like their, you know, the exit velocity, the assumed distance, you know, the velo, the TVL, all that stuff on that. So,
115
you know,
to 120.
So we've been involved in all that stuff and like the process on it now. So basically, you know, the best thing I say is don't lock out MLB. Like, we're trying to get paid. So it's 10 months worth of work for us. So fucking keep that shit going.
How did this all come to fruition, man? I mean, I know your dad started, but like walk us through the history of the company.
Yeah. I'm real, real curious about that. Cause I've been following you since, I mean, we've been best friends forever. Yeah. You were the best man at my wedding, and I've been watching your career blossom, and I think it's
a fun word.
Blossom, I love it. Yeah, it's been amazing to watch it grow, man, what all you've done with the company since you've taken over. But tell us from the beginning, how to start.
Man, I mean, it was basically like two dudes in a laptop. I mean, my pops was very much in it back when it was first getting going, back with, like, when it was like SD television, you know, that sort of thing. And then
standard def.
Yeah. So, you know, back in CRT TVs and bunny ears and all that bullshit. And then we just, you know, got lucky. The timing was there on all that. You know, I mean, it's the dedication. You got to have the drive and, like, the wherewithal for that one, too. But, I mean, some of it's timing, you know, on that. Like, we've been blessed. We've been very fortunate in that regard on it. And it was just, you know, computers became a big thing. Everybody realized they had so much more processing power and could do things quicker. You know, HD came in and just, it was one of the bigger disrupts, like, in our field was, you know, going to an HD television and all that stuff. So we got to be a part of that. And then now, you know, with sportsbook gambling becoming legal in like states as it comes, you know, across all of that, that's the next biggest disrupt. So like that's a big focus for us too is,
sports gambling?
Yeah, sports gambling and all of that stuff. You know, one of our bigger clients, like, you know, Sinclair Bally Sports, you know, Bally's the casino, that group out of there. And, you know, it's just that pushing all that content to
it. What would they have you do? Like, I mean, because I know
obviously, if I'm watching TV, I can see what you're doing there. But in a sports gambling situation, what would you
do? It's like if you watch it, it's you know, we show like the open markets on it and everything like that. So if you're watching like a game that's coming up, like Texas or Astros versus, you know, Dodgers, and you see like the open line, it's, you know, +120 for these guys, minus, you know, the run line, and then the over and under and all that stuff. So
where would you see that?
No, you'll see it from the bug. You'll see it like inside of the ticker across the bottom, know, or like in an L bar situation.
So I'll explain it a little bit more layman's terms. If you've ever watched sports, you've seen TV graphics run something on the TV, whether it's stats, whether it's pop-ups. I mean, what y'all done is revolutionized sports in all aspects, correct?
So, I mean, somewhat on that. I mean, we had a bunch of good leaders that came before to kind of blaze that trail. And, you know, everybody's trying to build a better mousetrap.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we do that. We got some really smart people that have kind of all contributed to, you know, how we're getting there and everything. But it's always been a push. It's always been the evolution of it. And as technology catches up with people's ideas or inspiration, I guess art imitates life or vice versa or something like that. So it's kind of, if you can come up with it, you can put it to work and achieve that stuff now. So it's been fun and it's been good. And like I said, the timing thing of it, you know, you're seeing some amazing things happen. You're seeing, you know, more application use come into it. You're seeing direct to consumer. So you got a little bit more chances. It's not just linear networks that you got to deal with anymore. It's not just like, I guess, same thing that y'all are doing here with this. You know, there's so many more avenues that you can get to viewers that you can, like, get your product out to and everything like that. Like, you've got YouTube that we stream games for through MLB Network partnership, and you do it for Apple TV and for Amazon and for, you know, Facebook and for Periscope and, like, all of that stuff. So it's just kind of fitting in with that. Budgets have changed. You know, the way that we do the business has changed. You know, before you had to roll out and be on site and, you know, it costs $100,000 to bring everybody in and you do all this. And now you're doing Remy's where everybody's like sitting back in a studio in Charlotte or in Bristol, you know, Connecticut, or, you know, in San Francisco or something like that. And you're just piping it all back to you. So it's been good in that way. Like, we're changing the way like a traditional like linear broadcast goes, but in the same like aspect, you're not traveling people anymore or anything like that. So you've got bigger budgets and you can do new, cooler things. And you're going to see, you know, broadcasts evolve in that as far as some of these metrics and things that you can pull out.
Because some of our friends used to work for Joe.
Yeah.
And they would go like on location. I remember in the days where they would have to travel like in the vans with the, you know.
Yeah, that's what equipment. I was going to say next is that, you know, you're a family business, but our family is considered our friends too.
Sure.
And you've provided jobs for a lot of people and helped catapult people's careers. Not if they didn't stay in that industry, but gave them the knowledge and the motivation to do other things as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's all mutually beneficial on everything like that. Like, they had the time and everybody had that willingness to learn and that intellectual capital, I guess, that we were looking for. And everybody that's ever, you know, from the friends or the, you know, the tight knit family that has come through, they've all done great. And it was one of those where, you know, sometimes people just need an opportunity. And it's just like, okay, cool, you know, and television, especially in sports, is very carny-like. You know, you, like, fly into a town and, you know, set up shop, and you're there for, you know, 24 hours, and you get the fuck out. And
that's a question I got. So tell us about the vast amount of travel that you and your team does, because it seems like
travel has reduced.
It has. Travel has reduced. I mean, it went from, you know, way back in the day before United fucked up Continental. And they merged that shit. By the way, fuck you, United. I'm sorry about that. Y'all always blow my shit up. Sorry. But I liked Continental way better. But yeah, no, I mean, like back in the day, you know, you're flying 130,000, 140,000 miles a year. And like now I'm lucky to get, you know, 60, 70.
So 60 to 70 is still a shitload.
It's still a lot. But I mean, it's half of what we used to do and everything like that. So.
So we've tried to get you on the show a couple of times. You're like, oh, I just got a call. I got to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
And I talked to you like a few weeks back. You're like, oh, the quick flight to Paris.
Yeah.
And I've never even been to Paris, and I want to take my wife there. And you're just jet setting over there for some work, which I think is so cool, man. You're the worldliness that you've experienced, man, is awesome.
No, it's like, again, just truly blessed and fortunate on that. Paris was cool. We were over there for the French Open. Got to see Serena play. Got to see Federer play.
Awesome.
Which is, you know, kind of some bucket list stuff to see, like, in a major. That was really cool. Super awkward. It was, you know, you fill out a bunch of paperwork. You got to go there, like, quarantine. They give you, like,
we went during, COVID times. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the same thing that we did. And then, you know, I mean, they shut down the city at 9, but you're working till like, 1 in the morning. So, like, it's kind of cool. You're walking through Paris and you're one of like 5 people in the streets with like all your badges and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was cool, but I mean, you don't want to go to Paris and eat McDonald's and, you know, have to be in your hotel by, like, you know, 8 o'clock at night and all of that stuff. Yeah. But I mean, so it's a different world, you know, all of that, you know, COVID's impacted everybody. And, you know, the way that we're all kind of getting around it and getting to it and on this kind of mobile workflow and work from home and all of that. And, you know, just keep it moving. A Royale with cheese. Hit that shit off some Pulp Fiction.
Stupid ass Frenchies. Dude, I make fun of French people all the time, man. I think it's because they detest Americans, right? And so, like, I fire back, right? And in my house, like, you're
carrying that torch?
Ask my kids, like, hey, y'all gotta take a French bath tonight, you know, because it's super late. We get home, like, y'all gotta take a French bath at least. What does that mean?
It's in the sink.
In the sink, man. Just in the sink. Wash the privates.
I don't like United. I love the Frenchies. French. I love the French. You know, I don't like the United people. But other than that, we're good.
I'm with the French too, man. I'm with the French.
You just alienated half your audience.
Damn. You're huge.
Hey, I'm a believer that there's no such thing as a bad press, man. Because we got a lot of our followers during the Astros series, you know.
So, oh, yeah.
Boston. We're talking a lot of shit to these
dudes. We got Boston fans.
Now they watch us every week.
That's good shit. Yeah, this dude's... Oh, that's all right. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, this one guy in particular just like going off on us.
You're good.
Then him and Kevin get into an exchange, you know?
Yeah. We got into an argument.
Long story short, dude goes, you guys aren't as bad as I thought y'all were. You're not assholes.
The funny part about it,
I'm going to watch your show every week.
Yeah, the funny part about it is that I told him, there's no such thing as bad press. Keep watching the videos. And then when he commented back, he goes, you got me. I watched them all, man. Y'all are pretty cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Man, so, hey, this came to my mind while you were talking, man. Is it very competitive in your marketplace? Like, are there a lot of companies that do what y'all do?
Yeah, I mean, there is on different aspects of it. We're more of, like, a custom software house, so we design, like, you know, really custom made to order, like, solutions and things like that. But you've got big players, you know, VizRT, they're huge. They've got a big global footprint. Their products are amazing. We partner on some projects together. So we're not, you know, necessarily competitors, but we can do a lot of the same things. Our biggest competitor, and they're a huge guy, and they grow by acquisition. I'm never going to say their name, but you know what I'm saying? They're writing, you know, big.
But you got somebody.
Big eight-figure checks and all that. Like, they're the biggest kids in the room. But, you know, for us, every dollar that we make is a dollar that we take. And, you know, we're keeping score that way. And it's worked out all right for us.
Yeah, that's excellent, man. Like Kevin said, man, we've loved watching your success.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate that.
Okay, have any other endeavors that you're going? Because we talk all the time about being entrepreneurs. You're like one of my kind of like guru people that I share my success with and vice versa. What else you got going on besides TV graphics?
No, I did that. We did some oil and gas stuff. That was cool, but, you know, no offense to that industry. It's super archaic. You know, those people still want to be writing things down on paper, so trying to like automate and do things like that has been what it is. And then, you know, with the way that the world economy is going right now and everything like that, it's, you know, people are always like tightening the belt. So, you know, oil and gas, we venture into, we've done a couple things with like medical fields, auctions, you know, a couple other things on it. And then, you know, just personally, like we were talking about earlier, just losing money in crypto and, you know, trying to be a Robin Hood on some stocks and fucking that up.
Nice. Well, shit. Enough about business, man. Let's have some fun, dude. You got a flashback story? Let's start getting.
Yeah,
at
I mean,
it.
Let's
tell some jokes.
I like to tell Flashback Friday stories, especially when they involve like the people that are here, right? And so I did talk. I told Joe there was two that came to my mind. We'll see if he wants to tell one of them, but for sure. In this one, Joe is a player in the story. You know, so really the story is more about me. But
you know, I appreciate you at least put me in there. That's a nice fucking segue.
Here's what happened. One of our buddies, I think it was Donnie, right? Donnie was having his bachelor party.
At the fucking Fantasy
at
Plaza.
Fantasy, which is a butt-naked club here that lets you bring your own alcohol
in. Mm-hmm.
Like, not many places do that except for high-class places.
That's right.
And only in Texas.
The butt-naked.
The butt-naked, man. So we're at Fantasy, and we got like, man, we must have like 10 car deep, you know?
Yeah.
34 people in each car, right? We carried a keg in.
Yeah, I bought that keg. I was 17. I was 17 years old.
17 years old.
But ice dry or something.
I don't know that
like
any
that,
of us
turbo
were.
Dog.
I really don't know that any of us were old enough to drink yet.
No, I don't think so. And nobody's even old enough to get married yet.
Yeah. Straight up. Shout out to Donnie.
Yeah, shout out. I was like, why are you doing this?
We're like, man, this is our first bachelor party.
Let's go. It's Tuesday. We're at the Fantasy Plaza. Why are you getting married? She ain't even pregnant. And you're just doing this? Like, that's crazy, man. And they're still together today. Shout out to y'all, man. I know.
They stayed together, man. That's awesome.
You know. Well, hopefully they'll still be together after you finish this story.
Yeah, the story doesn't incriminate them or him in any way.
Yeah, I know. Just kidding.
I mean, I'm sure she knew he was going to the strip club. You know, does butt naked.
Yeah, they lived in a one bedroom apartment. I'm sure she missed him. I'm sure she knew he was out the house.
Anyways, man, we're at this butt naked club, man, and so we're all getting just trashed off, just drinking off this keg, man. At one point, Joe actually fell down the stairs. And they're like, "You gotta get your buddy out of here." And I think that's what sparked us to leave.
No, that's, I mean, we were doing that stuff, and there was some pharmaceuticals involved and everything like that. And it was like one of the last cups off the keg. And we're going, and like I start falling, but you know the cup's in this hand and the railing's on this side, and I was like, I'm gonna take it on the dome. Just ripped it down like some Home Alone shit. Fell down the stairs like that, I was like, who the fuck pushed me? And there's nobody but Nico at the top of the stairs and looking down, and these fools are like, y'all got to get out. So me and
I was 100% there for this one.
Yeah, so I was there. Me, Nico, and Jake, who we said happy birthday to earlier.
We're in Jake's car.
Yeah, we get kicked out. We go up front there, and you know, we make it, get back on 45 and looking to loop back around. And
So the reason we're back on I-45, you know, famous freeway coming through Houston, is because what they decided was like, okay, well, we got kicked out of this joint. Let's go to this other club. Now, this was just actually a club, not a strip club. Let's go to this other club downtown. So we're in like a caravan, 10 cars deep, driving down the freeway. And we're weaving in and out, you know. Everybody is, all 10 cars. But Jake pulls right in front of a cop car. And I knew it, man, immediately. I said, dude, you're going to get pulled over. And sure enough, woo!
Yep, hit him with the birds.
We freaking get pulled over. Dude doesn't even ask a question. Pulls Jake out of the car, puts him in the back of the cop car.
Quick.
Suspected drunk driver, whatever, you know? Comes back to the car, you know, asking some questions about Jake. Jake's trash. He shouldn't have been driving us.
No. I didn't even know. He's the most responsible 16-year-old we knew, or 17-year-old at the time.
So in any case, Joe, to his credit, is trying to hide something that Jake had in the car.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to get arrested. And honestly, like, I'm on probation, so I can't get arrested at this time. Cop comes back. You know, he says, hey, you guys stop moving in the car. I say, yes, sir, officer. You know, I'm real polite when I talk to officers, you know. Not Joe.
No. I was like, fast as fuck, boy. Let's go.
Just talking shit. I'm like, oh, my God, dude, Joe, please.
Well, I was taking him over the team. I was trying to, like, draw his face away from the party favors that were in the car and shit.
Oh, man. So the guy comes around my side, you know, because I'm sitting behind Jake's seat, you know, in the back. And, you know, he's like, tell your buddy to stop moving. I'm like, yes, officer. I'm going to tell him, you know. Goes back, he's talking to Jake. This dude starts moving again. Comes back, man. He just grabs Joe, man, takes him. And he's like, I'm coming back for you. Comes back for me. I have this long conversation with him. I'm like, man, listen, I'm on probation. I can't get arrested. I'll have to serve the rest of my 10 years, you know, on probation in jail, you know. And I give him my sob story. He finally says, well, you know what? I was going to let this dude go with you, but he keeps talking shit to me. So I'm taking him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he goes, here's what I'll do. He's like, if you can go over to that payphone and get somebody to come pick you up, I'll let you go.
Yeah.
So I go over to this is the payphone time, you know? I go to the payphone.
1-800-COLLECT.
Like, while I'm at the payphone, I'm like, how does this dude know if I get in touch with anybody? You know? So I come back, you know, he's like, did you find somebody? I said, yes, officer. I found somebody to come pick me up. So he hauls them off, right? And I'm stuck. This is like, man, we must have been like one exit out of downtown, like close to 610.
Okay.
You know? Or close to I-10, actually. I-10 where it meets 45. We're like right there. In any case, comes back, lets me go. The record driver, I go, hey man, can I? You know, because he calls the record driver to take Jake's car. He's like, I was like, can I hop a ride with you to wherever you're going? He's like, nope. I was like, for real? Like, damn. Like, you know, like, you are going to get money from somebody that I know to get this car back.
Yeah.
Can I not have a ride with you? He wasn't having it, man. So I decide, you know what I should do? There was this girl up at Fantasy who said, if y'all don't leave, you can come home with me. And she, and when I said, nah, I'm sorry, we got to go, she was like, well, if you make it back up here before 1 o'clock, she was like, you can still come home with me. And so I was like, eh, you know, plans change, you know?
So that's a pretty far little jog, man.
Oh, dude, it's a huge jog. And I was like, I can't walk it on the bottom down there. It's too unsafe. So I'm going to walk on the freeway. I walked on the shoulder of the freeway, and when I got to Cross Timbers, I turn around because I hear just wheels screeching, dude. And this, I look back, and this car's coming from, like, the third lane of traffic all the way over to the shoulder.
Yeah.
And I jump over those barricades. I jump over into, like, some oleanders, like the bushes that are right there.
Some oleanders.
They smashed into the freaking barricades, spun out, and freaking got run over by an 18-wheeler. Fire. Just immediately, the car blows up. And I come walking up, but this time, there's just cars have all stopped in all lanes of the freeway. And there's an officer there. I walk up, and there's this African-American guy that says, shit, I thought you were dead. He said he thought when the car hit the side that they hit me, and I, that's why I went over their side.
Oh,
I was like, no, I jumped as they were hitting the side. It was real crazy. I should have been dead, man. But anyways, those guys had to get the emergency vehicles out there because those dudes were in bad shape. So I talked to the officer. There's an officer that showed up. I'm like, man, look, those guys tried to hit me, you know?
Tried?
Yeah. I'll give him my story. At this point, like, this has severely impacted my ability to get back to Fantasy.
What an inconvenience this has gone.
Yeah, damn it, dude. Yeah, like, now I'm stuck here. I asked the officer, I was like, hey, can you give me a ride, you know, just up the street?
He said, ask the tow truck driver. He's like, I got that.
he goes, no. Same thing as the tow truck driver, no. I'm like, damn, man, you're a police officer. You can't give me a ride. I almost got hit by these dudes.
No one wants to pick up a 17-year-old boy on the side of 45. What kind of world are we living in, bro?
Khakis with polo boots and freaking dress shirt, you know? Got that
braided belt?
The braided belt, yeah.
Oh, man. Hair
greased back, you know, when I had hair. Any case, man, I got a backpack with two bottles of wine,
a
corkscrew, and some weed, you know? Oh, man, it was a JanSport, mm-hmm. It was a blue JanSport. Any case, so yeah, I missed the opportunity to get back to Fantasy. Fine, whatever. When I come back, I talk to the African American guy because he's stuck behind all this traffic as the emergency crews get there. And I'm like, man, yeah, this officer won't even give me a ride up the street, man. You know, he's like, I take you, man. He's like, I'm going up to Greens Point. You can ride, have a ride with me to Greens Point, and then you got to figure out what you're gonna do from there. Cool, man. Yeah, this dude had gold teeth and everything. He was a cool cat, though, man.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, dude, you didn't have to give me a ride. So he gives me a ride to Greens Point, man. I get out. He's like, you got a way to call anybody? I was like, not really. He gives me his calling card.
That's awesome. You charge him up. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, damn, dude, that's super cool. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. By this time, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. I go over to the payphone, punch in his calling card, and it says insufficient funds. Dude, burn me up.
You know, it's kindness of his heart. He's like, he's giving you a little bit of hope on that walk over that payphone.
Dude,
man.
I had to walk the rest of the way from Greens Point, white dude, polo boots. I'm walking, guys, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning with their windows down, just like looking at me like, what is this crazy fool all about? Like, nobody bothered me in Guns Point because I think they were like, if this cat is just walking down this main streets over here, like, there's something we just don't want to mess with.
Yeah.
I had to walk past the cemetery at night. Finally got to Celebration Station, called a friend and said, this one is like 7 in the morning. I was like, dude, I'm not walking anymore. Come pick me up.
That's hilarious.
No, I mean, that night sounds way worse than mine in jail. So, you know what I'm saying? You killed that. You know, I'm sorry you had to walk.
Man, I'm glad you didn't die from the car accident, but there was two things that were different back then. One, you knew people's phone numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If that happened to me today, I might be able to call my parents. I think you might have the same number that you've had for 20 years, but besides that, 911 is the only other one I could call, and there was no fucking Ubers.
Nah.
I as soon as I went to sleep, I get a phone call. It's Joe's mom.
Yeah.
And she's like,
she's an unhappy lady.
She goes, "Do you know where Joe is?" Like, oh man, I was like, I think he got arrested. Then Joe's dad hops on the horn and he's like, "Can you come show us what we need to do to get him out?" So I had to go over to Joe's house to help his parents get him out of jail. And it was the day of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know.
So I stayed at Joe's house that night just to watch the Super Bowl with him because he was grounded.
Yeah, I was grounded as fuck. And like, it was like that, man. It was a bust because, so we go to jail, we do all that stuff, and we're getting out, and they separate me, and like, I'm with Jake, but they put some flamboyantly gay dude in between us. And I was just like, all right, I'm gonna check all this out, see the back and forth on this. So they go up, and you know, you see the judge through the TV, and they're talking to Jake, and like, when'd you get in? He's like, I don't know, like 6 a.m. They're like, all right, well, you got to serve one more day, you know, like all of that stuff. And like, boom, they're banging back, the gay dude goes, and then I get to go and everything. They're like, when'd you get in? I was like, man, like 9 p.m. last night, bro. Like, that's when they got me like at the Kroger's at 9 p.m. It's all good. She's like, time served, you get out of here. Go to leave, Robbie, he pulls up in the lowest Lincoln in H-Town.
Lowest Lincoln.
To pick me up on that stuff. And by that time, he pulls up and he's like, yeah, your mom called and said that I can't give you a ride. So I have to, like, my folks come to get me. The only reason they knew is, I guess, because they got a hold of you. So yeah. I appreciate that, man. That was good looking out.
Good looking out.
Yeah. By that, I mean you got me in trouble.
Yeah. he's in jail. He would have never got back.
No, you could have just shut your mouth and he would have been out the next day, man, with rolling into Lincoln.
Came back in and everything. The best part about that is, like, checking out of jail, and I shit you not, they were just like, one blow pop, $87 in ones and one rubber chicken. Because, you know what I'm saying, we were at high school that day, and, like, you could get those little the rubber chickens with the sucker on that shit. So, yeah, that's what I had for lunch. That's taking the fuck up out of that thing.
How we doing on time, Kevin?
Man, so we got 40 minutes on Spotify, and just real quick. We're 40 minutes in on Spotify. So just real quick, if you're listening on the Spotify and it hits the hour mark, Spotify will cut us off, so we're going to say bye. If you are listening to that, come back and check out the rest of the show on YouTube if we go over time. But we're doing good, man.
Okay. Joe.
Yeah.
Do you mind telling us the Arnold Palmer story? This is the Arnold Palmer story.
Yes.
All right. Man, so I was like 22, you know, like fresh out of college and everything like that, just getting into like the workforce and everything, and like just starting to travel. Excuse me. So, and obviously, you know what I'm saying, I like to drink.
Like to drink.
But anyway, so like we're in Colorado and we're doing a meeting with this Israeli company, ORAD, and we go to this like first, it's like this working lunch, and it's the first lunch that I've been to. So we go to this like Bob's Chop House or something like that at like 11:30, you know, so we're the first ones in there. And nervous, and my boss is there, and these two guys from Israel are there, and we're talking all this business, or I'm just listening to all this business. And basically, they come around, they order me first, like, what do you want to drink? And I was like, I'll just have a water. And they go to the guy next, and he's like, I'll have, you know, like a Pepsi or some bullshit, whatever they drink in Colorado. And then
drinking a nasty Pepsi.
Yeah, that shit's terrible, man. So United and Pepsi, fucking holler at me. So anyway, so they finally get to my boss, and my boss is like, oh, I have an Arnold Palmer. And I didn't know what that shit was, you know, at the time. You know, like I said, I was 23 years old. I've never seen a country club in my life. I've never fucking watched golf. I don't know any of that shit. So they do that. And then the guy behind him goes, I'll have an Arnold Palmer. And the other guy's like, fucking, I have an Arnold Palmer too. And they get back to me. They're like, you? I was like, I have a Knob Creek. Knob Creek. Let me get a bourbon neat. You know what I'm saying? It's 11:45. Let's go, baby.
Because you're not.
I thought they were like a Tom Collins or some shit like that. I didn't know what these drinks were. So these guys are doing it, and I'm just like sitting there. I got a water and a whiskey neat at like 11:45 in the morning, and I'm 22.
At a business lunch.
And I'm trying to drink and do all of this stuff. And so, you know, like no one says anything to me, and they come back with like three more Arnold Palmers, and everybody's like, yeah. They're like, you? I was like, fuck yeah, let me get another Knob Creek. So we're drinking these things and everything. I'm getting like, you know, a little bit loose. It's like 11:45 at this time, and the salads come, you know, all that shit. I'm two fucking knobs deep in the game, and y'all can edit that out or fucking use it however you want. But come up to that, and they come back to me, and they're like, another Knob Creek. And like by this time, I'm like, well, the food's here. I was like, I'll just take a Bud Light. You know, I was like, let me calm it down. This is a business lunch. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to get smashed. So, you know, I'm taking this Bud Light and eating a Caesar salad and all of this stuff. And like, we're going, and you know, we leave, and everybody's going to the airport after that. And I'm the last person to get dropped off by my boss. And I was like, yo, I love this business shit. I was like, these lunches are amazing. I was like, we should do more of these and just get dressed down at the terminal. He's like, oh, you're a fucking idiot. He's like, straight up and down. He's like, those are one of the most important clients that we have this time. And like, you're just straight pounding booze at like 11:30 in the morning. So yeah, we got the deal and everything was good.
So you had to explain to him that you thought that you were keeping up with these guys.
Yeah, I thought so too, but I mean, I was late for a flight and we were getting dropped off, so he's like, basically, you're a piece of shit. And I was like, I'll be on that call tomorrow, and just jumped out the fucking room.
Arnold Palmer story.
Yeah, no, man.
I would love to hear the opposite side of that story. They probably thought you were just like a straight up G, man. Yeah. Look at this guy, man. He's just killing them.
Doing everything that we want to do at 11:30, just pounding whiskeys and fucking not making sense and everything. So yeah, it was good.
That's awesome.
Hey, who's the most famous? You know, I know it's probably sports related. Who's the most famous sports star you've come across in the line of industry?
Besides Nico.
No, I mean,
run that 40-yard dash.
You know? Now you get to meet some very, just great, charismatic people, and it's not the same personas that they have on the field. Like Troy Aikman was great. You know, he was good to meet. You know, that like Terry Bradshaw was super cool. The most nervous I think I've ever been is Michael Jordan owns a racing team, like Jordan Racing for like Superbike. And my brother, you know, he works with us too, and he was like really big into that. And I got to be in an elevator with that dude, and like I've never really been starstruck, but I think that's the only time I ever shut the fuck up. You know, I was just like nervous in an elevator with this guy, and he was such a gangster that he was like smoking his cigar
in the elevator,
and had his fucking lit cigar in the elevator. And I was just like, dude, like one day I was like, you're the man. So I mean, didn't get to meet him, but like proximity wise, I would say Jordan's probably one of the only times where like I have the tongue in the back of my mouth, couldn't talk, and was just like, I should have just been like, yo, but I just couldn't do it, dude. Like just starstruck, like straight up, like shocked.
And that's awesome. You ever seen any crazy or funny stories around any of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, you see like, man, I can't burn up a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you see some things like people get loose, you know. I get, you know, the most recent thing that you can liken it to is like you see like Urban Meyer dancing with somebody who's not his wife or things like that. You see a lot of shit like that. You know,
want to take it away from you, man, but I've met Michael Jordan as well.
Yeah?
Yeah. At his restaurant, he was doing an undercover boss and he actually waited on me.
Shut up. I didn't know that dude owns a restaurant. He owns a golf course.
No, man. Michael Jordan Steakhouse, man. They're all over the Connecticut casinos.
Really?
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
Well, he's a huge gambler.
And
so.
Then, like, yeah. Scooby Doo ripped off his face.
It was me the whole time.
I never met Michael.
I would have got him doing blackface.
Got away with it when you meddling ass kids.
I never met Michael, but I feel like maybe he should give me a call because I've been spending a lot of money collecting his Jordans.
Yeah.
Lately, so.
Buy that dude's tequila. That shit's on point.
He's got tequila?
Yeah. He's got some good tequila. It's like $3,200 a bottle.
Kevin's alcoholic. He can't buy tequila.
Thanks.
We're putting everybody
else
on blast.
Are you supposed to say recovering? Am I supposed to say recovering alcoholic? I thought once alcoholic, always alcoholic.
What's called Cali Sober. And look it up.
Okay. I got you. Does that have something to do with medicinal...
Just look it up, man. Quit throwing me under the bus. Right.
So, by the way, our producer's high. He's in the booth right now, you know.
He's never not high. You know? So, Alabama, Georgia, coming up January 10th.
Monday. Man, I want to see Georgia do it. I do. You know what I'm saying? I saw what A&M did to him and everything like that. I think that, like, sometimes you can get that dude's number on the defensive side. That front four, that nose tackle that Georgia has is phenomenal. I think it's going to be one of the first times you see a nose tackle still go maybe high in the first round. I don't think you've seen that stuff for like, I know the names, but I can't think of them right now. But come on, man, you're if you're not like a playmaker, like a big sack leader or pressure guy or anything like that, but just see a nose tackle who's like really good at like just stopping the run, who's got that lateral movement and everything like that. I would love to see him shut that down, like, going against Alabama. So, I mean,
I think it would be good to see Alabama get upset, but it would be an upset. So I heard this probably makes more sense to you because you're into the betting and sports gambling and everything like that. That last game they played, the SEC championship, I guess you were getting points if you went against Alabama. I think that's how it was. There was like a historical perspective to gambling, and that anytime that anybody's gotten points against Saban, it always comes out the wrong direction for you if you're betting. So I'm thinking right now, like it's still the same way. Like Georgia is favored in that game right now.
Well, I mean, So I haven't looked at the lines of the markets or anything like that, but I would imagine just because of the way that, you know, again, Bama dropped that A&M game that Georgia is going to be, you know, the favorite on it. On paper anyway like that, you know, when you're gambling or when you're doing that stuff, wait for the underdog to score first or, you know, something like that.
Oh, and then bet.
And then bet the other way because all the lines shift. Like, that's my favorite thing to see is, you know, like somebody playing the Astros and the Astros are like -150 and then, you know, so-and-so gets up by two runs and, you know, I can jump on the Astros because they're +110 and, you know, we're going to have like a seventh inning, like five home runs. So there's a little bit of like method to it, you know, and all of that stuff.
I've been curious about this. You probably know way more about it, but, you know, like when those money lines come out, it's, you know, like Vegas is trying to get somebody to come to the other side of the betting. By the way that they put the lines out.
Yeah, so it's just incentivizing it. You know, I mean, that's what's going on there. It's if you've got every, like, and you're taking money off of the table, you know what I'm saying? Everything's, it's not really a coin flip. I guess that's the wrong way to say it. But, like, if you've won all your games and I've lost all mine, the only way you're going to get me to bet on me is to give me, you know, $300 to every $100 that I bet and stuff like that. So, I mean, you can go that route and you're going to be like minus blah, 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 blah. But if I can score twice on you in the first half and you got zero, then the line's going to shift. And then I'm going to bet on you anyway because I know you're going to win in the second half.
Is the line shifting because so many people are coming on to it or because Vegas is like giving them the incentive to come on to it?
Yeah, no, it's just fading the book. So basically, like, you know, there's the book on it like that. So if everybody's betting super heavy, you know, on this, then they're going to incentivize this because they've got to pay these markers. They got to pay these bets if they go. So it's like that. I remember like when the Bears were going, and this was like 2000. I don't forget when the Bears were in the Super Bowl, but it was going the other way so hard. I had a friend of mine out of Philly who was a bookie, and he called and he was like, "Man, I'll give you like 5-1 right now if you'll do this." And so, I mean, laid some bets on that, and they ended up coming through on them. So, you know what I'm saying? For every $100 I was betting, I was winning 500, so I won like 1500 real quick. Tom. Or maybe the Bears lost that game. I don't think.
Man. So. What's it, like, you guys get to go to pretty cool events, too.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I know. Fortunate on that one. You know, like I said, the French Open was a huge, huge blessing. Like, that was great. Indian Wells is great, like, if you're into tennis, which I never was, but now I'm a super fan. You know, like, tennis is cool, man. The events are cool, everything like that. The Kentucky Derby, I mean, that's definitely a bucket list. I would recommend everybody go to that.
You guys went?
Yeah, yeah.
Do the big hat and everything?
No, man. We just clients.
Just ladies?
Yeah, basically.
you should have pressed
it. I've been what's going on with this one and everything. I wore a seersucker suit and, you know, fell down in a puddle, so this was cool.
Ow.
Yeah. No, at one point, like, we're there, and there's all these guys, and my boss is with me, and he almost gets arrested. And it's like 3 a.m. in Louisville. And you can't say Louisville. It's like Louisville. So you do that. And we're just eating fried catfish out of some greasy ass sacks. And I was like, man, there's like $3 billion sitting on this curb right now. Like, as far as like all the salaries and everything like that. So, yeah. I mean, I recommend.
Mint juleps
and whatever the other thing that they drink there, you know, all of that horse piss.
The freaking Louisville reminds me. So I used to love Dave Letterman. And he would, you know, have those skits where most of the guys do, where they'll walk down Hollywood Boulevard and they'll, like, interview somebody. Yeah. But he would grab teachers. He wanted to grab teachers. Hey, are you a teacher? You know, and he'd get some teachers, you know, and he'd have, I think it was Paul Schaefer, the band guy that would ask him the
questions. Raining Men? That'd be Paul Schaefer? The piano tie? It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So you know, I was going to come with you that. So my favorite song.
He had this lady. I think she was like sixth grade teacher or something like that, you know. History teacher at that, too. You know, and he says... He asked her the question from the studio, and Paul's there with the microphone. He's like, "The capital of Kentucky. Do you pronounce it Louisville or Louisville?" And she was like, "Oh, it's definitely Louisville." He's like, "It's actually Frankfort."
I've seen that.
That's some good stuff.
Where are you from? Mexico. It's actually Mexico.
Yeah. Oh, man. You mean down in Veracruz?
Yeah, that's picking oysters out of Veracruz. No doubt.
That's awesome. So, hey, Joe, you got any New Year's resolutions?
Oh, man. Work-life balance. And I guess that means just, like, be able to get out of work in time to hit happy hour. I mean, straight up, man. You get out at 8 o'clock, happy hour is already done. That shit sucks. That
these drinks are full price.
Yeah, no shit. that I yeah, just some work life balance.
Sergi, like that's a novel idea, man. post happy hour happy hour.
Reverse happy hour.
I think he already does that. Yeah. He runs happy hour all the time.
No, Serge, I mean, Serge's a smart businessman. He's like, open a bar and invite a bunch of drunks and serve cheap drinks. You know what I'm saying? I mean, since it's a time test.
But man, he hits him with that steak, man. I'll be looking at these steak pictures. I'm like, damn, I need to come you up know, there
it's
just
the,
to
it's
eat.
The same fake ass steak picture. We do the same shit in mine. My steaks at my bar look like the same steaks as like Serge's bar.
We're going to have the Jack Show steak picture,
yeah,
man.
It is. Man, so I've eaten his steaks. They're really good. And he is an awesome businessman because when crawfish season comes out, he pisses a lot of people off in the bar industry because mm-hmm. he takes a loss on the crawfish.
Yeah, yeah.
We and do people don't understand loss leaders, mm-hmm. you know? And he's like, man, I'm making them as salty as possible, and they drink so much, it doesn't matter. The crawfish, I can give away for free if I had to.
Yeah, so we're going to plug it like that. Scary Canary, Chris Sergi's bar, and then I got a family bar. We got Pier 30 if you're ever down in Freeport, Lake Jackson area.
Tell us a little bit about Pier 30.
Yeah, I always forget about this.
Yeah, tell us.
Yeah, about so Pier 30 came to fruition. You know, basically, my pops, he was running like some outfitter bait shop and everything like that. Me and my brother went to Costa Rica for reasons, and we were doing some shit over there.
Okay.
And we're hanging out in these bars, and I mean, Thomas is, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's like real hands-on guy, and he was looking at it, and he's like, I want to own one of these. I'm like, you're gonna own a fucking beach bar. I was like, you know, that's lofty, but good luck, big guy. And then my pops moved his business over into this new building, and my brother convinced him. He's like, hey, just give me like, you know, 600 square feet of this. And so he did it, and my brother built a bar. And it went from, you know, the bait camp was making money, and then the bar started outperforming it and everything like that. And then my brother had a conversation with my dad, and he was like, yo, shrimp die. You know what I'm saying? And then they're half fucking price. Like, these beers stay cold for like a year. We're going to be all right. He's like, we're in the wrong business, man. Like, straight up. So.
Science is for pussies and shrimp die.
That's our new slogan. Science is for pussies and shrimp die. So, and you should open a bar.
So, no, he does that and everything. And, I mean, at some point, you know, it just outperforms and he takes over the whole building and all of that. So, I mean, it's a good time. I mean, with the crawfish business, same thing. Yeah. You know, on that, we do a couple 100,000 pounds of crawfish, you know, every season. So,
how did that business do these last 2 years because of COVID?
Man, it was it was rough. But, I mean, you get, you know, ingenuitive and everything like that. Like, we're serving, you know, drinks in a Ziploc bag that's not considered open by like Texas, or you're serving like airplane bottles, like with like to go orders and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was cool. It was definitely, everybody took a hit. I mean, I'll give props to, you know, government, I guess, which I never like to do, but like as far as like some of the things they did for the restaurant industry or for like the service industry, as far as like PPP and things like that, like it was a good thing. I know we all paid for it. It came out of the tax man, but you know, it was a good thing. They did help it out, and they kind of remember some of the little people like us who were just like, you know, hey, we're working for $2.15 an hour, and we're like off of people's good graces as far as like tips and things. And when you don't have that tip kind of economy or income, then
we've talked about that, about the waiter wages. Like, people need to know a waiter makes $2.13, $2.15 an hour. Yep. So they do require tips to survive.
Yeah. Well, everything's electronic now, but back in the day when I used to wait tables, I used to never enter in my tips, or I'd enter in like $10 for the
day. So I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. You caused the $2.15 because people were doing tax evasion by not claiming their tips, and Mr. Bush, the younger one, changed that law.
Yeah. But I had to do that because you can't survive if you're making $2.15 and putting your tips on the book. And then you get taxed on them.
Okay, like, so then you were post 2:15, yeah.
Yeah, well, plus before you have that, friends, if you're actually logging that stuff, you like, cause come on, man, you're a waiter, like anything like that, or like a bartender and everything. Like, everybody's in that industry. Everybody's a fuck up. Let's just be honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ask those questions, like, yo, what are you doing here? You're 50. Like, I started when I was your age, at 17 and shit. You're still, still partying, just still partying and doing all of that stuff. But yeah, man, you got to keep going like that.
Oh, man.
What else you got on this piece of paper? LA Fitness, LA Times.
Yeah. Nico is notorious for the paper and the paper stacks. I want to see some paper stacks.
You're on the live desk.
You got anything else on that list?
Wait, what's up? I mean, what's up? You got any travel plans? I mean, y'all been asking me questions and shit. Y'all doing anything this year? Traveling, whatever.
I don't really have any travel plans.
So my thing is van life, and I've shared that. I like to get into a cargo van and just take off and drive, sleep in it, and it's not really
so
even.
So you're a sex trafficker is what's going on.
Yeah, that's, I'm a coyote.
It actually spray painted red on the side, right, man?
Yeah, so that's my vacations, but I don't think we're going to do this year because I tried to take Shauna, and she said, I'll never fucking do this again.
Really? Oh, yeah, I mean, that's a strong point. What about you? You think you got bucket list places to go?
Yeah, I mean, we do. Like, we went to Hawaii this last year, and I'm sure we want to do something with the kids every year. So I don't know what that'll be.
We got a good parents.
I know we were invited. We were invited to go to Napa, not with the kids. Yeah. And I think we'll probably make that trip.
But you got rich friends you ain't telling me about? Who's going to fucking
Napa? I do have rich friends that I don't tell you about. That's true. That's awesome.
I'm gonna cut in real quick. Spotify, we're out. Check us out
Spotify,
on the YouTube.
Thank you.
Check us out on the YouTube channel. Yeah. We don't know Jack.